Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. That was fantastic. Hey, now, my job right now is not to preach you a message. If you want to hear a message, you got to come back tonight. But my job right now is to just share a couple words with you, something to kind of give you something to think about, share the Word of God. I want to read a scripture or two to you, and then give you an opportunity, a time to come and pray before we dismiss this part of the service and have dinner. And so what I was thinking about is I was seeking the Lord on what He would have me to say to you this morning. I kept thinking about choices. I was thinking about the choice that you would have had to have made this morning when you woke up, whether you were going to come to church or not, whether you were going to come here and listen to these fellas sing and worship the Lord together. And, you know, you're going to have to make a choice here in just a few minutes. Are you going to stay and eat dinner, or you got somewhere else you're going to go? I don't know why you'd pass up dinner, but that's your choice. You have to make that choice here in a little bit. And we make all kinds of choices all the time. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about these things, of course, I don't think we realize sometimes how important the choices that we make are. I look, and there's quite a few young teenage and children here this morning. And, you know, man, the choices that you've got set before you and how important they are. And the truth is life is filled with choices, right? Choices that affect us on an everyday basis. And everything that we do, our everyday choices, and let me tell you something, they're not without significance. They're not without consequences, right? Our choices affect us. But listen to me, they don't only affect you and me, but they affect everyone around us also. And sometimes in very dramatic ways, whether we realize it or not. Someone one time said, and if I knew who it was, I'd give them credit, but they said choices create little ripples that hardly alter the landscape of our life. But some of the choices we make are like huge waves that have the power to change and shape the shoreline of our future. Our life is the sum total of all of our choices. The shape of our shoreline is the result of our choices. Our entire future, what eternity means to us, where we'll spend it, is the result of our choices here and now. And when I was thinking about that, and I read that quote or come across that quote, I couldn't help but think about Joshua chapter 24. And here, Joshua has led Israel into the promised land all of his life, and here he's come to the end of it. A farewell address, a last sermon, instructions for them. And he starts out, if you look at Joshua chapter 24, he starts out by kind of recounting what all had happened there. And I know that he's just reminding them of their history and where they come from and what their ancestors had done. But in that, you know, he's going through a lot of choices that were made. Abraham made the choice, right? Whether or not he was going to follow God and serve God. I mean, we just go on down the list there. And anyways, and then after he's laid that out for them, in verse 14, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." He's giving them wise counsel, good instructions, right? Good advice. He's saying, fear the Lord, respect Him, keep God in His proper place, and serve Him, and do it sincerely and in truth. Do it from your heart. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Look, he's telling them, put away all the idols, all the false gods, put everything else away and serve God. We live in a day and a time where, you know, atheism and is popular, independence is popular. People choose not to serve the Lord. You know, and I think about that, and I think about the choices they make. And some people say, well, I don't serve anything or anybody. But listen to me. Everybody serves something, right? You can say that you don't believe in God. That's fine, but you're going to serve something, right? You might serve yourself. You might serve what you want and your own fleshly desires. But you serve something, and whatever you serve, that's your God. Joshua was telling them, serve the Lord. Put away all that other stuff. Serve, he says, serve ye the Lord. Ye is plural, you all. You all serve the Lord. And then verse 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. In other words, he says, if that sounds like something that you're not willing to do, right? If that don't sound like a good idea to you, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's saying, pick your side. Make your decision. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm thrilled that I can stand here before you today and say, as for me and my house, we've made that decision to serve the Lord. Best decision that we ever made. I mean, I don't think sometimes you realize the effects and consequences of that decision you make, whether or not you're going to serve the Lord. I spent 27 years of my life serving other gods before I made the decision to serve the Lord. And listen to me, it's the best decision I ever made. Not only did it change my life, my outlook, my family, everything right then and there. My children, who were, I guess, about 1 and 2 years old at the time, changed the entire trajectory of their life. I don't think for a minute my daughter would be married to who she's married if I hadn't made that decision. I think their lives would be completely different, and not for the better either. Look at the changes that it has made in my life. But it's so much more than that. Right? I mean, you realize what is happening, right? As you look across not only this land, but this world. We've been talking about that, some of that stuff a lot on Wednesday night in our Bible study. But anyways, listen to me. There's not long left. If you ain't made a decision yet, you better be making it, right? I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back, and he's coming back soon. Are you ready for that, right? If you ain't made your decision by then, it's made for you, right? You've made it by not accepting the Lord, by not deciding to serve him, right? You understand, don't you, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, he's not going to blow his trumpet. That archangel is going to blow the trumpet of God. Listen to me, that's just when he opens his mouth. That's the trumpet of God. That's when it's going to happen, right? He'll split that eastern sky. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen. Hey, I used to stand here, and when I'd say this, little fat boy is going to lose, gravity's going to lose all control over him. But I've lost a little bit of weight, so that don't have quite the same impact it used to have. But listen, it's still going to lose all control over me. Hallelujah. I'm going to be caught up to meet him in the air and be with him forevermore. You want to talk about a decision that'll change everything, right? Not just my life, but for all of eternity, and that same decision is set before you. But the choices that we make, if that's the only thing I ever think about, I mean, that's a little bit selfish and self-centered, isn't it? I mean, you need to get things right for yourself and your own life first, period. You ain't going to be able to help nobody else or do anything else until you do. But then that decision that you make, and all the decisions that you make to follow the Lord and serve the Lord, just like the decision you made, which was a good one,
to get up and come to church and worship the Lord this morning. It affects those around you a lot more than what you think. A group of us from the church just went to a evangelism conference Friday night, Saturday morning. Talking about evangelism, witnessing to people, sharing the gospel. You realize the decision to obey God, right? Because he tells us, preach the gospel to every creature, right? To go into all the world and to make disciples, right? Share the good news. Tell people about Jesus. You realize whether or not you do that, I mean, has a profound impact. On other people. I got a story that I want to share with you. One of the preachers that was there read it Friday night. Now, I realize there's about 10 or 11 of you that went with me. But there's about 100 of you here this morning. So about 10 or 11 of you have heard this before, but the other 90 or so has not heard this before. And those that went with me, they know that I really like this. But I want to just read it to you here real quick. It won't take me but just a minute. It's actually, I don't know that quote is the right word, excerpt, whatever. It's a story that Stan Toler told, and it's in a book that he wrote. The name of the book, in case you ever want to look for it, is God Has Never Failed Me, But He Sure Scared Me to Death a Few Times. Here's the story that Stan Toler tells in that book. There was this businessman, Milton. He was flying on a plane from Atlanta to Dallas. He happened to have the middle of three seats on one side of the aisle to his right. To his right, sitting next to the window, was a young girl who obviously had Down syndrome. She began to ask him some simple but almost offensive questions. "Mister," she said, "did you brush your teeth this morning?" Milton, very shocked at the question, squirmed around a bit and then said, "Well, yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." The young girl said, "Good, because that's what you're supposed to do." Then she asked, "Mister, do you smoke?" Again, Milton was a little uncomfortable, but he told her with a little chuckle that he didn't. She said, "Good, because smoking will make you die." Then she said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" Milton was really caught by the simplicity and the forthrightness of the little girl's questions. He smiled and said, "Well, yes, I do love Jesus." The little girl with Down syndrome smiled and said, "Good, because we're all supposed to love Jesus." About that time, just before the plane was ready to leave, another man came and sat down on the aisle seat next to Milton. So remember, the little girl's here by the window. Milton's in the middle. And then this next gentleman sits down right here on the right of Milton, next to the aisle. And he began to read a magazine. The little girl nudged Milton and said, "Mister, ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning." Milton was really uneasy with that one. And he said he didn't want to. I can sympathize with that. But she kept nudging him and saying, "Ask him. Ask him." So Milton turned to the man seated next to him and said, "Mister, I don't mean to bother you, But my friend here wants me to ask you if you brushed your teeth this morning. The man looked startled, of course, but when he looked past Milton and saw the young girl sitting there, he could tell her good intentions. So he took her question in stride and said with a smile, "Well, yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." As the plane taxied onto the runway and began to take off, the young girl nudged Milton once again and said, "Mister, ask him if he smokes." And so, good-naturedly, Milton did. And the man said that he didn't smoke. As the plane was lifting into the air, the little girl nudged Milton once again and said, "Ask him if he loves Jesus." Milton said, "I can't do that. That's too personal. I don't feel comfortable saying that to him." But the girl smiled and insisted, "Ask him. Ask him." So Milton turned to the fellow one more time and said, "Now she wants to know if you love Jesus." The man could have responded like he had on the two previous questions, with a smile on his face and a little chuckle in his voice. And he almost did. But then the smile on his face disappeared, and his expression became serious. Finally, he said to Milton, "You know, in all honesty, I can't say that I do. Not that I don't want to. It's just that I don't know how. I don't know him. I don't even know how to know him." I've envied people of faith and wanted to be a person of faith all my life, but I haven't known how to do it. Now I've come to a time in my life when I really need that very much. As the plane soared through the skies between Atlanta and Dallas, Milton listened to the fella talk about the brokenness in his life. Then he began a Bible study and explained how to accept Jesus, how to become a person of faith and lives by faith. And he did all of that because a little girl with Down syndrome had asked him to ask the fundamental question that all Christians should be finding a way to communicate: do you love Jesus? Listen to me. Every person you come in contact, you make the choice of whether or not you're going to share the gospel. I don't know that we realize what kind of an impact that decision, whether or not we're going to, could have on them, and not just them, but everybody around them and connected to them, for eternity. I've said it since I very first come here, and I've never done it. When I first took this church, storm come through, and the sign down there by the road was, it was wooden then, and it was rotten, and it blowed over, and me and Mr. Don, we fixed it and put it back up there, and I told everybody then I was going to get some lettering and put on the back of it, tell someone about Jesus. So that's what you saw when you were leaving here. I never have done it. I should. I need to. Because that's what I want you to do. I mean, we come and we worship God together because he's worthy. We get encouraged and you know, built up and praise the Lord, and we have a good time together. Sometimes we deal with some things, get some things sorted out, need to be sorted out. But when you go out there, if you're not telling them about Jesus, are you really doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are we really serving God the way that we ought to be serving God? You got a lot of decisions to make. You ain't made a decision to follow Jesus now. Now's the time. Don't you wait another moment longer. I know you got to make a decision whether you're going to stay and eat dinner or you got somewhere else you need to be. You got a decision to make whether or not you're going to come back to church tonight. Hey, you got a decision to make whether or not you're going to tell somebody else, invite them to come to church with you. My, it don't get any easier than that. But if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, to give your heart and life to Him, that one takes precedence over all the others. I'm going to ask these fellows to come. I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray. We think of this as an invitation and an altar call, and it is. If you're not saved, I'm begging you, don't you wait a moment longer. If maybe you once served the Lord, but you're not where you ought to be now, and you know that, I'm telling you, God's talking to you right now for a reason. I'm begging you to come and get things sorted out with Him. Get back where you ought to be. Maybe there's some people in your life, some people close to you. They're not making the decisions they ought to be making. I'm telling you, the first thing you need to be doing is need to be praying for them. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and do that. Hey, maybe there's some things in your life that you need to come get sorted out with the Lord. Whatever it is, this is your opportunity. Will you stand to your feet?